I make poor decisions, people.
This is our Living Truth, Luke and Andy.
And Alex!
This is our Living
Truth. Okay, Andy, where are you right now?
What's up?
Where are you
right now? I can't hear you guys through my phone. Hang on.
God damn it!
Oh,
3 seconds.
I'm sorry.
Shit.
We got some good energy going, and Alex is like, guys, I can't hear you. Fucking AirPods. All right. Well, Alex is trying to figure that out. You're in.
Where? I'm here. I'm here.
Okay. I'm in my car in a parking lot in Twin Falls.
Is that a new car?
New car, baby.
Times two.
Yeah.
I've heard.
Yeah.
Yeah. I bought two cars today for the price of one.
That's probably a lot.
I was in a car dealership for a good 5 hours in the last 2 days, and it fucking spent a lot of money, a lot of time, a lot of sweat.
Tears?
Not a lot of reward, you know?
Well, you do.
A few tears.
You do have two cars.
And I do, yes.
One, so.
Yes, current, yeah, situation into my personal life. I don't know if I'm yelling, but I feel like I'm not.
No, you're fine. Perfect.
We had a van, 2019 Ford van. We paid like $650 a month for it. And Becky drove it all the time. I hated it. I want my own car. So we figured, hey, let's get two used cars. Maybe we can get those two used cars for around the same monthly payment for this giant ass van. Sure as shit, found two Foresters. And we're paying less than we were paying for the fucking one van. So it worked out.
Okay.
That's Alex. Crazy.
Alex doesn't like Subarus. He's got a...
Alex. Okay.
Alex, yeah. As I say, Alex has got a lot of problems in his life. That could just be added to the list.
Yeah.
Bold statement to say I don't like Subarus. I don't mind Subarus. I like Subarus.
Okay.
I like Subarus. I got nothing wrong with Subarus. But like Luke came to me and was like, oh, I'm thinking of buying a new car. And I was like, oh, cool. What kind of car? He goes, oh, I'm buying a Subaru Cross, like looking at Subaru Crosstrek. And I was like, okay, you basic bitch. Like you're going to get a car that you're in Reno, physically everybody and their mother who goes and volunteers at a fucking nursery to help nurse plants back to health has.
Wow.
Well, they're safe. So like, they're all-wheel drive. You can drive them until fucking 500,000 miles.
Yeah, they're great cars. Don't get me wrong. They're great cars. Don't get me wrong. But Luke's like, well, I'm going to go spend, you know, it's like, well, the ones I'm looking at, it's like 30 grand. And I'm like, okay, look at it this way, right? You go spend 30 grand on a Subaru Crosstrek, or take that 30 grand and go buy a fucking Model S Tesla, Model 3 Tesla. It's like for $32,000. And be a little bit unique. Yes, Teslas are getting.
But you won't be able to have the fucking autopilot. If you get a Tesla without the autopilot, what are you even doing?
If you get a Subaru, what are you even doing then?
I don't know. The amount of money I've bought in cars in the last 3 years, I could have bought a fucking Model X by now. But I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, I don't make good decisions here in my life.
You should.
Yeah, I mean, I obviously don't make good decisions with my vehicles either, but. My parents also just bought another vehicle today.
Yeah, what's with people buying vehicles, man?
Dude, the market for used vehicles is through the fucking roof right now.
Right. They were saying when I traded my car in that dealerships are so empty on vehicles and their inventory is so low, they're paying like top fucking dollar for trade-ins. So I got like more money for my van than I would have gotten any other time of my life. So
yeah, so. My parents, Kelly Blue, booked their truck the other day. And it was like, do you want to share the results with, you know, local dealers that we have? And they were like, yeah, they got 3 phone calls the next day. Hey, we'll buy your car for whatever Kelly Blue Book says, like $22,000, essentially.
Yeah. They gave me my Blue Book for like $19,500 and they gave me $21,500. So yeah.
They're willing to pay. Because COVID has fucked everything up. These new cars that are coming off the lot don't have things that make them necessity to make it to the lot. So used cars are becoming a hot commodity. So everybody's selling their used cars right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then trading up for whatever models on the lot.
Yeah. And you have like expendable money now where like if you wanted to get a new car, then hey, put a little down payment on. And that's why they're probably needing used cars. But were they paying on that truck?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
But so they got like $4,000 more than what they owed on it. So they didn't end up, which is super rare, to not end up upside down in the loan.
I mean, it's not that rare. But
no, it is. Because so you'll go into a dealership, and unless you owe like $2,000, $5,000, $6,000, most of the time you're going to end up upside down and have to carry over some of that loan from the first car to the second car.
The next car, yeah.
Yeah.
That's just the way it is. But right now, because people are so hard up for used cars, they're just giving top fucking dollar, dude.
Alex, what did they get?
They got essentially the same year. They went 1 year newer, but it's a 2015 Chevy dually.
Okay.
So instead of the regular truck, they got essentially something better for towing. And actually like came in less than their monthly payment was, lower fucking interest rate. Like they made out like bandits on this deal. So that my dad's super happy about it.
Damn.
So the plan is I'm going to pay my truck off here in like the next like 6 months, 7 months. And then I'm going to go buy me something fun to ride around it.
Yeah. Right.
Now you're held to a standard of buying a Tesla, or you're a fucking fake.
No,
calling people out.
Alex sent me a text saying he wanted to buy a van.
I'm going to buy a minivan.
Which would not be, that'd be kind of cool. You remember Justin Largent's van, Andy?
Oh yeah.
Like that, like
shout out Justin.
Would be pretty sick.
No. I'm not going something cool like his. I'm going Dodge Caravan, like 2003 Dodge Caravan.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, you know what? Yeah, that's a good deal.
I'm gonna slam it, camber the wheels, throw a turbo in it, and just like haul ass around.
Just a sleep.
Hauling bitches and hauling ass, dude. Like I'm moving.
That would be such a funny sight to see. Just you in a fucking Dodge Caravan, like a dark green Caravan mom's car.
With like 13 women in the back because it's got room.
Yeah. Yeah.
And are they there against their will, or do they know that do they want to be there?
Some of them aren't happy they're there, but you know, that's just life choices.
Yeah. And it's like, it's you and like 13 like stick figure women like on the back window.
He just draws in the back.
Okay, so
yeah,
we have a lot to get to because I didn't realize that Maria, my sister-in-law, like called me the other day and she's like, so like what happened with Alex's mile? Like, did he do it?
Yes.
I was like, holy shit, like that was weeks ago. Like seems like a lifetime ago.
Right. Yeah.
I didn't hear anything. I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, okay, so we'll definitely have to address it there, or that whole weekend probably. And then the wedding that we had this last weekend, and me and Alex
are
DJs. We found out we're going to start a gig, maybe quit our full-time jobs.
DJ Nutsack.
Yeah. It's what, been 3 weeks since the last podcast too.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, a little update on why we haven't uploaded is because we did the mile. And then we tried to record a podcast and it didn't work out. Sound quality was awful. So instead of putting that out, we decided to wait. And then we had the wedding and, you know, we were busy all day Saturday from essentially like 10 in the morning till essentially Sunday morning. And then Sunday we were useless to the world. So, because we were so hungover, so we couldn't record then. And then we're, you know, work and whatnot. So this is the first time that we've been able to get together since that last podcast the week before I ran my mile.
Yeah. So let's start from the top of like the mile. Let's talk about that. And so nine in the morning, we go up to there's a set of mountains outside of Spring Creek and a road that goes up it. And so like beautiful scenery and we go up there.
The video looks great, by the way. I don't want to cut you off, but the video looks phenomenal. Essentially what we did. It's going to be a minute. I don't know, maybe another week, another 2 weeks, but trust me when I say it's going to be great. Essentially we had Luke drive my van and I was hanging out the back while Alex was running behind the van. And, in the background is Lamoille Canyon and it's some beautiful scenery. We got some beautiful, Alex is sometimes you can hear him breathing heavily. You can hear him spitting his lungs up. It's good quality content.
You can hear me physically throwing my back out.
You hear his titties just slapping together. Yeah. It's great quality content. So
now,
yeah, a few more weeks. I'm a busy man, so editing a video of that caliber takes a minute. But I uploaded it to my software, and it looks great.
Should we tell the audience what we got, or should we make it until we put out the video, or should we tell them right now who was right, who was wrong, who lost money?
No, I think, have you guys told anybody already?
Yeah.
So the spoiler's there. So yeah, those of you wondering, Alex said he can run a mile between 9 and 10 minutes. And, definitely. What was it? 11:24 was what he clocked in at.
11:24. Now, I do want to point out, the night before I ran this mile, there was some interference, right? I was trying to get as much sleep as possible, you know, get ready for this marathon that I was going to run, right? My marathon.
Yeah.
And this gentleman, Luke, decided to call me at 3 a.m. Like, hey man, how you sleeping? Like, oh, me and Tristan are on the phone and we're talking about it, blah blah blah. So then my REM sleep gets interrupted. So there I'm already throwing off, like, oh, there goes 30 seconds right there. Like, I lost this sleep, you know. Their 30 seconds is off. So now it's gonna be 10:30. And then they I'm telling a story.
As you tell it wrongly. But whatever.
Luke decides to, my best friend, mind you, I've known this guy since seventh grade, best friend, lived with him, decided to put doubt in my mind. Oh, he's running 11:30 plus, definitely. 11, like, almost, I'm going to guess even 12 minutes. He's not going to get in under 12 minutes. So there's another 25 seconds because now I got doubt in my mind, like I'm going against the clock, like I'm going against God itself. And so then my buddy T's like, you know what? No, I'm going to put, and shout out to Tristan. Shout out to T. He put confidence in my heart and said, you know what? I'll bet a dollar that Alex makes it under 11:30. And then Luke decides to be all badass and was like, no, $50 that he doesn't make it 11:30 or under. And then Tristan's like, whoa, easy there, gambling addict. And so they settled on $25 that I wasn't going to make it in under 11 minutes and 30 seconds. And I proudly say the fact that I made Luke spend $25 for me running a mile in Lamoille Canyon.
Yeah, and I'm glad to give T that money. But this is the problem with Alex telling stories, because he fucks up and doesn't retell it the correct way.
Okay, how dare you?
And all it was I drove home that night. This was Friday night leading into Memorial Day weekend. So I'm driving home from Reno. So I get in like at 2 a.m. Also, I got pulled over, which I don't know if we talked about. Shocker. For the listeners, I got pulled over, which is a bad, it's not good because I have a suspended license. But long
story short, no registration.
And that's why he pulled me over. And so this was in Elko, and 2 a.m. and I'm like freaking the fuck out. And I'm on the phone with my brother and sister-in-law, and he comes up to the window, and lo and behold, it was an old family friend of ours, my older brother's childhood friend. And so he recognized me, I recognized him. So he didn't even take my license. We just bullshitted. We just caught up, and him and my older brother chit-chatted over the phone. And he's like, all right, man. Yeah. Like, you're good. Like, just get that license or that registration fix. And I was like, holy fuck. Like, I thought I was going away in cuffs, you know, and I was going to be missing this mile. So I'm like on this high now. Right. So I get home, 'cause I was like dog ass tired rolling into Spring Creek. And now I'm like elated. And I get off the phone with my brother and sister-in-law, and then T calls me, I think, and we're talking about like this, the weekend and this mile coming up. And T made the comment that he was like, Alex, like, always responds. Like, that one great attribute that Alex has, like, that I don't have, is like, it takes me a while to respond most of the time. Alex, it's like fucking right away, no matter the time of day or night. And so we're like,
I'm reliable.
Let's try it out. Yeah. And so we text Alex in this group chat that we have at like 3 a.m. and we're like, you up? And then like not even a fucking minute later, he's like, indeed. And so we're like dying laughing. And so we call him. We're like, and we're explaining it to him. And then that's when we're like, you know what? We have him on the phone. I don't think you can do it under 11 and a half minutes. Like, I'm definitely going over. And I was like, and I was feeling a little froggy. I was like, dude, I'll bet $50. I should have bet 100. I shouldn't have, but to make the stakes even higher. So we're like, no, let's do 25. And yeah, as you heard, Alex did it in fucking 11 minutes and 23 seconds.
Yeah, six seconds, Alex. I don't know how proud I would be of, you know, barely scraping by, but I mean, yeah
that's barely.
Hey, bro, if I were to not be proud of barely scraping by, I wouldn't be proud of my high school graduation. I wouldn't be proud of getting promotions. I wouldn't be proud of a lot of things. Okay, barely scraping by is my niche right there, baby.
Well, let's not forget though, the whole thing was predicated on you doing it in under 10 minutes because you thought you could do that. So you fucked that all up, okay?
Right.
I lost.
John LaBuda called you the fuck out. And he was right.
Yeah. Well, John LaBuda can suck my ass. So, you know, that guy sucks for even making me do this to begin with.
So after the mile, we all went our separate ways for the day. Alex went to, you know, a nice bath for the next 8 hours.
Then
we
not reconvened. True at all.
We reconvened back at my place to record the main, like, truth or dab version of, or the segment for the podcast.
Yeah.
And we've recorded this podcast in many of my garages, at least two or three times in the past with acceptable audio quality. We've had the door wide open, you know, birds chirping in the background, no problem. I don't know what happened this go around, and I should have been a better podcast producer. Should have recorded a couple of seconds of it. Listen back on the audio before we fucking recorded 3.5 goddamn hours worth of content, but I didn't. So we have 3.5 hours of just this muffled ass garage echo fuck fest of an audio clip that is unusable. Let's record. I mean, it's pretty unusable when it's like 7 files, and I didn't even give the fucking chance to go back and listen to one and be like, oh shit, we need to fix this or do something about it. No, we just kept fucking recording audio files for the whole night.
Yeah.
And there was some awkward moments. There was some funny moments. There was some deep moments. Connection moments. Yeah. Like we got a little personal, little lovey dovey with each other.
Yeah.
Little awkward, calm people out, sucking Luke's dick, not realistically, but and lyrically.
Felt like.
And it. Yeah. And so we wasted 3.5 hours on a muffled, echoey ass audio file that we can't use. So that whole weekend, as far as the podcast went, just was wasted.
And I enjoyed it though. It wasn't wasted.
Oh yeah. It was a great night for sure. But for the fans out there,
yeah.
For all 5 of our fans out there, the audio is gone. I have it. I mean, I can upload it, but goddamn, you won't be able to understand a damn word anyone's saying. But just know it was a great night. Then this last weekend you guys were at a wedding.
Yeah.
And too busy to make a podcast that way. That way I wanted to make sure this weekend, whether I was out of town or not, we needed to get something locked down for something. So
yes. And so a little bit on the wedding, you know, I've talked about it many a time since this last weekend. Cause it was a good time. And, like I said at the top, you know, me and Alex are like, these were our friends and they were like, hey, we don't want to pay for a DJ. And you guys usually get on the aux, you know, every time we have a party or something. You guys have good taste in music. Like, would you want to DJ it for us? And of course we're like, fuck yeah. Like, that sounds super fun. And so we did it. And
did you know this going in before it, or did you guys just show up and you're like, oh
no, this was months in advance. They had told us. And so like, we're, you know, setting up like playlists, getting their playlists and all that stuff was last minute. Because I procrastinated but we all got it to work out. And also like we helped set up, like it was a whole weekend event. I took Friday off. Alex took Thursday, Friday off and Monday. And so we're setting it all up and getting like, cause he's got all the equipment too, you know, so he's got the mixer board, the speakers and all this shit. So he's like showing us like, okay, this is what you got to do. You know, don't go over this level or you're going to blow out the speakers kind of thing. And it, I don't know, it was just really cool to like get behind the scenes version of a wedding. And like, also we kind of became wedding fucking planners, like part of the wedding committee midway through it. And like me and Alex are like, it felt like the only ones trying to get like, keep this thing on like the ball rolling, you know, because everybody was like having a blast and wanting to congratulate the groom. And we're like, hey, we need to fucking cut cake. You know, like we're losing daylight. People are starting to leave. They're getting, you know, antsy. Like we got to get to the dancing part, you know? So no, overall, it was just, it was a wonderful fucking time. And I don't know how much Alex wants to talk about his particular night publicly, but I'll leave that to him.
I won't talk about everything.
After hours.
I won't talk about the after hours part of the wedding. Let's just say like, I had stayed relatively sober all day. I started drinking at the start of the ceremony at like noon, one. And then by the time we actually started dancing and partying and whatnot, was like 7:38, and I'd been drinking up until this point, beer, you know, a shot of whiskey or whatnot. And it's like, I had stayed sober this entire time. And then like out of nowhere, the entire, like all the champagne I had, all like probably 14 to 15 beers I had just like smacked me in my face at once at like 10 PM. And I was just like, let's fucking party, dude. So I was going, Luke was chugging champagne, I was chugging beer. And then it was just one of those things, like, you know, 11 turned into 1 turned into 2, and then 2 turned into fucking 4:30 in the morning. And I'm stumbling back to my truck. Luke's been asleep for 2 fucking hours and left me at some point. Or technically, I left him.
Yeah. You went off and were doing your own thing. And so I was like, that's fine. So then I'm like hanging with like the 5 people that are still up, you know, at 1 in the morning. And I was like, what the fuck am I doing? Like, I need to go to bed. And so I was just like, screw it. Hopefully Alex, because we stayed up there. It was in between Tahoe and Carson. So it was like up in the mountains in the woods. And so we were just going to sleep in his truck that his parents just sold. And so luckily he had it unlocked. And so I just crawled in there and racked out. And then I think you called me not much later, or maybe a couple hours later. And then you texted me like, hey, like get out here. And I was like, fuck that. And I remember you getting in like at 4 in the morning or 5 in the morning. Mm-hmm. Whatever it was. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, thank God I went to bed.
Yeah. I had some interesting conversations with a young lady who shall remain nameless, and we had good conversations, and then I went back to the party and hung out there, had a few more beers, had a cigarette, and then the lights got turned out because the generators were we just shut them off because no reason to keep them running at 3:30 in the morning. And then, pretty much just sat there listening to music on my phone with this one girl who showed up out of nowhere.
Yeah. Wasn't even part of the wedding. She was like, what, a child of the.
She was a kid of one of the owners of the property who showed up at like 11:30 at that night. And was just like, I'm here to party. And we were like, cool. So just talked to her for like an hour and a half about everything, just about life. And then I was just like, well, her name was Kaylee. Cool girl. I was like, well, Kaylee, it is 4 something in the morning. And I go, I have to get up in the morning and help tear all this shit down. So I'm going to go to bed. She goes, I have to get up in the morning and not do anything. And I was just like, okay, whatever. So walked her back to her car or to her trailer, essentially. I was like, oh, it's good talking to you, blah, blah, blah. And then I fucking bumper bowled my way down the road into the truck. And yeah, passed out.
Okay, so like the actual wedding though, right? So like when it was set up, like I said, it was in the woods. So we do the ceremony and we have a DJ tent, Andy. So like that's like mine and Alex's spot. But for some reason, everybody started to like wanted to hang out at the DJ tent. And we had some loose fucking cannons hanging out of the DJ tent. Like
the loosest of cannons.
Yeah, getting way too drunk, like, you know, too early in the day, like even before, like right after the ceremony. And this guy, Cody, takes off into the pasture. There was a pasture behind us and there's like cows and shit. It's beautiful. And he jumps the fence and is like going to go like wrestle a cow and bring it back to the wedding for dinner or something. I don't know. So he takes off. Me and Alex like see it and we're like, nah, like that's going to be a problem for, you know, later. So then, but luckily he was like out of our realm because he was getting a little too much, you know? And I'm like, all it takes is like, someone's going to spill their drink on the table and everything's going to cut out and we're going to be fucked. And then, like I said, just trying to keep the ball rolling with everything. And they cut the cake, they do the toast. Finally, we get to dancing and I took the biggest L of my life. That's the dude.
Fucking biggest. Can I tell it or do you want me to tell it?
No, that's fine.
Can I tell it?
Yeah.
Okay. So the same Cody guy who had run off with the cows and everything else, he comes up to me, he's like, hey, there's this girl over here. I really want to do. And a good looking girl.
She's a model, by the way, I found out.
Oh, I could tell, dude. She had legs 4 days. So he comes up and was just like, I want to dance. So they're like, can you throw on something like that by Tim McGraw? Because she wants to swing dance. I want to swing dance. Let's swing dance. So we're like, bro, we got you. No problem, man. So then we throw on that song. He invites her up to dance. They're dancing, sweet dancing, everything. And then it's all going swimmingly. And a guy comes up behind us and he goes, hey, do you guys mind playing Fight for Our Right to Party by Beastie Boys? And we were getting requests throughout this whole night. So we're like, yeah, no problem. We're added to the queue. Well, Luke had control of the pad at this point. So he looks up Fight for Your Right to Party. And instead of clicking on it and then adding it to queue, he just fucking presses play in the middle of the song. So it's like, I had a barbecue stand on my, you gotta fight for your right. Dude, the looks we got, Luke put his head in his hands. I'm looking at Luke. Everyone's looking at us. Yeah. Cody just throws his hands up. He's like, guys, what the fuck? And Luke doesn't do anything but keep his head in his hands while Fight for Your Right to Party is playing. The
best part is like, they tried to like, they were pissed, and then they're like, well, it's still playing. So, like, they tried to swing dance to fucking Fight for Your Right by the Beast.
Oh, my God. I was going to say, what was your guys' moves as professional DJs for about 3 hours? Did you guys have to switch it back, or you just say, we fucked up, and let's keep going?
Yeah, keep it going.
No going
let
back.
Let it ride, dude. Now,
so, that was the other thing. So, like, you know, at that point, I've been drinking champagne ever since the toast, right? Because the kegs that they had weren't really working. So I was like, fuck it, I'm just going to stick to champagne. And we had like a couple bottles. So it just felt like we had made it, you know, like we were actually professional DJs. We got bottles.
We were popping bottles.
Dude. VIP, you know. And so we're hitting the fucking tracks. And people are, like I said, coming up. And they're like, hey, I want you to play this song. I want you to play this song. Well, we got these like just super aggressive dudes coming up, like older men.
Old men.
Yeah. And like one guy comes up behind Alex. And like, I don't know if he like grabbed you like by your shoulders or like he got like fucking handsy. And he was like, hey, you guys need to play this song. It's mine and my wife's wedding song from 35 years ago. You guys need to add this. You need to play it right now. And I was like, Jesus Christ, dude, like calm down.
Like, yeah. So a little word of advice. If you go to a wedding and there's a DJ there, it's like walk up and politely ask, hey, do you mind like adding this song to the queue? Don't walk up like a lot of these people did and was like, play this song now, because like there's a mood that you got to follow. Like you can't go from something like that by Tim McGraw to Fight for Your Right to Party. Like it doesn't make you gotta have transition songs.
Yes.
So it's like you coming up and asking us to play Sweet Home Alabama after we're playing Run Around Sue is like, okay, we'll play it. Give us a few songs because we have to set that mood for that song. Yeah. So we had that guy come up, which it was like, we were on a country kick and he was asking for Fishing in the Dark. Which is so like, yeah, you know, we'll throw it up. No problem. You know, easy. So we threw it up. Him and his wife got up there and danced. So super cool. And then this old dickhead walks up and he goes, he like does the whole thing where he throws his arms on the table and spreads his legs super wide, like almost too wide, like an old man does.
Yeah.
And he's just I'm going to be honest with you guys. You guys lost half of the crowd here.
Yeah.
And we're like, what? And he goes, nobody's having fun. If you guys want people to have fun, you guys need to do the dollar dances, dances.
No. What he was saying was you guys, half the people are gone and you guys haven't done the money dances. So Nick and Molly have missed out on all that money. It wasn't that that's what's going to save this party is people doing money dances. But he was like,
oh, see, I was kind of
insinuating that we also fucking lost half the group or the people that were there. And I'm like, also, that's not necessarily our fault because this shit took forever to get to this point. Like,
right, and that's okay. Let me pause you there. I've been to a few weddings before. That is one thing that I know, like, the bride and groom, like, obviously have their own shit to worry about. So whoever's in, like, in charge, what is the person who's in charge of the wedding? The wedding is it the bridesmaid or like the one? Yeah. What, there needs to be somebody on the fucking money. Okay. We're doing this now. We're doing this. No fucking, like, you take 17 hours to eat. People are leaving. They're bored. Yeah. Like, we need shits to go now. Hit all the big shit. Get all the money shit done. Get the fucking whatever. And then, like, then you can fuck off and talk for hours and hours.
Yeah. So the issue was that, like, they had photographers there.
The DJ's fault.
Well, the DJs were shit, but it was like they had photographers there that they wanted pictures in this pasture, and they needed to hit this certain time where the sun was in a right spot, so it'd give them really, really good lighting and great pictures. So we're trying to work around that, and like obviously the mother and father of the groom and bride are both getting pulled away in separate directions. Oh, congratulations. The bride and groom themselves are having to stop and say congratulations or get congratulations. Man. So it's like the people who were supposed to keep this wedding on track are getting bombarded by people trying to congratulate them. So unbeknownst to us, we become like, okay, what are we doing now? And it's like, oh fuck, we don't know. Are we doing this? Are we doing that? Oh, okay. So then a little bit, we have to be the assholes. And it was like, okay, people, stop talking to the bride and groom. Like, if you're going to leave, wait till after their cake and say congratulations then, or just fucking leave. Like, we got to do this so that way they can go do their pictures or they can do their dances. And it almost worked out perfectly, like with how much stuff got delayed, because the pictures that came out of the first dances, like it was just dark enough for the lights to all really take effect that they had. So it was such a beautiful setting for them to do their first dances with, you know, Molly and her dad, Nick and his mom, and then Nick and Molly together. Is it was like, which shout out to Molly because she listens to this podcast a lot. So it's like, thank you for letting us do that. But it's like,
oh yeah,
you know, poor them. They're getting pulled in 1,000 different directions and they don't, you know, at this point, I'm sure they don't know the time. So they don't know how far late it's getting in the day. And
nor should they worry about
that. Right. Yeah. It's not their problem to worry about that.
Exactly. So it's like, we were worrying about it. Cause it's like, okay, we need to make sure that they can do all these things. Cause the photographers are also like trying to leave because they got stuff to do. So it's like, we're trying to make sure stuff stays on schedule and it's so and this also, dude coming up and saying you guys lost half the people here. They need to do money dances. And he like pulled out the oddest fucking flex on us and was like, I made $5,000 on my wedding night for the money dances. And we're like, cool, fucking grandpa, get out of here. We're not doing a money dance. Like we went up to Nick and Molly afterwards and we're like, you guys want to do the dollar dance? Nick goes, hell no, we're not doing that shit. And so, you know, they didn't even plan on doing a garter toss. I'm sure they planned on doing a bouquet toss. But, you know, it was like, you know, people are here for that. We should just do that real quick. So we got that done. But, yeah, it was like people coming up and asking us for songs and not realizing, like, we can't go from swing dancing to hardcore rock. You know, it was like we got to try to keep a mood. And then there was one point, dude, I got so fucking mad because we were playing some music and we were kind of keeping a theme. And then we were switching it to, like, 60s doo-wop and like kind of dancey songs, and Run Around Sue, which is what we've been using as an example, was our transition song. And so it starts off super slow. You're like, here's a story, sad but true. And as soon as the true ends, I just hear off to the corner this fucking lady just go like, well, now who's gonna dance to this?
Yeah.
And I got so fucking mad, dude. I was like, you don't even
like, me, bitch. And then we like run out from the tent and get on the dance floor.
And it was like, dude, it was so pop. Like, because then it goes up like, hip, hip. And then as soon after she said that, people flooded the fucking dance floor, man, because Run Around Sue is a certified fucking bop. Put a stamp on it, dude. That is such a good song to dance to. And so, and even the person who said it, I'm not going to say her name, but I know who you are, lady. You're not going to listen to this, but I know who you are.
Yeah.
She was up there dancing. So I'm like, how dare you say, well, now who's going to dance to this?
I think what it was is I think her last, the song right before that was her song. I think she was, that's when she came up and she's like, hey, could you guys play this song? And it was a good song, whatever it was. And then I think, you know, going from her song to this like kind of slow, because it does start out slow. She was like, oh my God, really, guys? Like, who the fuck's going to dance to this? And then I was like, everybody, okay? And so were you, because you got back out there, damn it. But
let's pause real quick. I just want to know your guys' takes on weddings. And obviously every little boy dreams about their fantasy wedding, right? And so would you guys want to have a DJ? Would you want to have like a live band? What's your guys' wedding situation? Or have you thought about it?
DJ all the way.
Both if need be.
I am so on board with a live band. Like, it's so
cool.
Unhealthy. Right?
I am too, a live band though. But the issue is you're pigeonholed into whatever that band can play.
Right. No, you get obviously a wedding band can play a vast majority of like anything you want.
I'm also
I'm a big old head hip hop guy when it comes to like weddings, like Return of the Mac, This Is How We Do It, I Get Around. It's like all that stuff is like good dancing wedding songs, and you can't really have a wedding band play that, you know?
Right. And that's why you just cue it up. That's why you just like, you have both. But it would be really cool to have like, there was a one-man show. I was at a wedding in Virginia City a couple months ago or 6 months ago. And it was just like, that was his job. Like his career was, he was like this one-man band, and he'd be playing, and he had a really good voice, and he would like pretty much cover any song that you wanted.
Right.
So that would be really cool, because it added that effect of like, it's live, it's in person. It's not just you're throwing a song on.
Right. And maybe, yeah, like you said, do both, like where you have like the live band do like the walking down the aisle. Like, it'd be really cool with like, you know, like the strings and stuff. And then you have like some dance stuff, but then you can also like throw on like a playlist or whatever in the background, you know, for when people want to do dances or whatever. And when the band is like eating or whatever, like all that stuff, like you can definitely do both. But I think having a live band there just kind of, like you said, changes the element that everything's like real live, and it's just like right in your face, not over these speakers. And I think it'd be a really cool experience.
Yeah. Well, and the other problem with like weddings and DJing one now, it's like, and especially thinking about mine, like there's so much music that I'm like, man, it would be awesome to play here or at my own wedding. But the problem is like, a lot of people don't know that maybe that song. And so like with wedding music or music at weddings, like it has to be,
right,
has to be like a communal, like everybody knows that song. So it has to be pretty popular songs, right? And that was kind of difficult, because like we got a playlist. Was it from people that sent in, Alex?
And so, yeah. So request from one, like, thing that was really cool about their invitation is, you know, I blank will be bringing so and so many people. A song I would like to hear at your wedding is blank. And then you would RSVP with that. So they got all these, essentially most of their guests would send in a song request. But it's like, there were some songs on there, like people wanted to hear WAP. People wanted to hear, you know, like these vulgar songs we can't play while Nick's grandmother's there, while Molly's fucking parents are there, or for the most part, it's like, or aunts or uncles. So it's like some of those suggestions had to get thrown on the after hours playlist after those people had already either passed out and gone to their tent, or they had gone home.
Right. Or you got just some stupid shit, like, I don't know, like Baby Shark or.
Yep. Baby Shark was on there.
Phenomenal. I have video of you and Wade doing the chicken dance, and I was like, that was spot on.
100%.
That's one of those things I would never do that at my wedding, though.
Yeah, I never.
Like, as fun as it is, and a crowd pleaser.
That's
like,
what I'm,
I don't want to please.
It, like, that's the struggle that I'm thinking I will definitely have, is like, I don't want to play fucking, what's the cha-cha slide song, or the one that we did, Alex, like
the Cupid slide, Cupid shuffle,
and it's like, they're great dance songs for, like,
and people eat that shit up so much, but I can't stand it,
dude.
That's almost like it's almost like a staple, right? I'm like, yeah, I don't want to do it. It's like a high school goddamn dance. I don't want to do that.
Yep.
Yeah.
If I hear Cotton Eye Joe one more time, I'll kill myself.
If I hear Uptown Funk one more fucking time, I will kill myself. And I think it played at that wedding, did it not, Alex?
Not on our playlist. It didn't on theirs.
Not on my fucking watch.
Not on mine. fucking watch it, did not know. But it's like Cupid Shuffle, exactly. You know, I, when people were like, oh yeah, Cupid Shuffle, I was like, man, Cupid Shuffle. But then I was beers and beers and beers.
Yeah, that is true.
So I was just like, fuck yeah, dude. I'm going to get up there and I'm going to the right. Yeah, I'm going to Cupid Shuffle this bitch up, dude.
Yeah. So, I mean, I was the same way. I was champagned up
and then, you know, there we had Just a Friend by like Bismarck Key. And then we played All Star by Smash Mouth. And that was a fucking, not a pun, a smash.
Yeah.
And then this, you know, like you said, the staples, the Sweet Carolines and the, we played Dancing Queen, obviously. So it's like, there's those staple songs you have to hit. But if you're a DJ or if you're just like someone who's curating your own, if you don't have a DJ at your wedding and you're just making a playlist, it's like, you got to have those staple ones, but there's also, you can throw in a lot of flavor that even if people don't know the song, we played Doses and Mimosas, which only like four or five people knew. Yeah. But everybody loved it because it was such just like a banger of a song that they're just down to dance to a good beat.
Yeah. And you know, so anyways, we do all that. We had a great time. And yeah, shout out to Nick and Molly, because like I said, I had a terrific time. Like, it was a phenomenal weekend.
Oh dude, if I like,
there was,
I can't put anyone's wedding against my above my brother's because I was the best man, but it's like top two weddings I've ever been to, man. It was such a good time.
Yeah. And so like, you know, half jokingly, like me and Alex, like, dude, like, we fucking got this, like, let's do this, you know? And then we get like, one of the groomsmen comes up to Alex, and he's like giving him his number. And he's like, hey man, like my wedding's coming up. Like, I love what you guys are doing. I'd love to have you DJ our wedding. Like, what do you charge? And we're like, what do you charge? Like, we never even thought about fucking, you know, rates or anything like that. And so we should have upsold him, but I don't think we did. Did we
even, like 5G flat? You provide the equipment.
Yeah. And luckily Nick's going, he's the owner of the equipment. So I was like, perfect. And so we'll see if that happens. But yeah, like we were getting gigs and shit. And there was like this one old dude that came up that was like, yeah, you should come down to the fucking Sands Casino and play your music there. We're like, we don't play music. Like, this isn't a live performance. Okay. Like, you're hammered. Go home, you know, go back to your tent. But
I've dabbled a bit in the DJ realm as well, like during all the ETF like mining expo parties, like,
oh yeah,
I'm the only person. I was like, yeah, I started ETF and like 6 months later they're like, we need you to DJ the fucking expo party. I'm like, fuck yeah, this is like I'll shine. Like, I don't have to be out talking to people. I'm back here behind this booth just doing my own thing. Like, yeah, so it's definitely a lot of fun, especially when you can like, you do something and then that one action then all of a sudden makes the room do something else. It's a great feeling. So it's awesome. I understand what you guys went through.
So the issue we ran into, or the one that I ran into, and I know I feel like Luke did too, is like, we had these moments that were great moments of like, fuck yeah, this is a good time. People are getting out there, but then, okay, well, we need to continue this playlist, but fuck, I want to be out on the dance floor, like drinking and having fun. So it was like, it almost was bittersweet because we were making it happen at our friend's wedding and making everybody have a good time. But us ourselves were confined to this tablet for minutes at a time, trying to pick the songs that were making the people have a good time, you know?
Right. It's like, yeah, it's work and play. Like, as a photographer at a few weddings, like you're working, right? I know you guys weren't paid work, but you guys are essentially working as DJs, but you also want to be there and like be a guest and party and have fun. So it's like that awkward, like bittersweet moment, like you said. Like, you want to do all these things, but you have a job to uphold. You got reputations at the line.
Right? Yeah.
But you also want to enjoy the moment. And like, you know,
you want to be
after a certain amount of champagne and beer, it was like, I mean, I was more out on the dance floor than the tent. And there was at one point, I think I left, we lost the hot spot, and Alex is fucking calling me, like, all that stuff kind of went to the wayside. But
luckily, everyone's just booing him.
Yeah.
Dude, I called Luke 12 times because he goes, I'm going to go to the bathroom, which I was like, cool, whatever, he'll be right back. 10 minutes later, I got people coming up to me. Hey, can I request this song? Can I request this song? So I'm trying to keep all these songs in my head while I can't look them up because Luke's fucking gone. So I got just like
with a notepad, just like, fuck it. Okay. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Dude, I almost had a panic attack because a little girl came up to me and I had all these songs in my head that I was trying to memorize in the order people asked. And she was like, can you play Let It Go by Elsa? And I was like, I don't care what I'll have to do, but I'm going to play fucking Let It Go.
That song will be playing for you, little girl.
Dude, I went up to like four different people. I was like, you got a hotspot? You got a hotspot? I need a hotspot. Come on.
Yeah. So yeah, all in all, it was, I love weddings. I just love weddings. I haven't been to one yet. That was just like, man, fucking phenomenal. And this one was definitely top tier, top tier.
That's awesome. Yes.
Until the next morning.
Yeah. But even then I wasn't really that bad. Like, cause we had to like tear down. So dude, we did everything. Okay. Let's just say Nick and Molly's wedding wouldn't have happened if me and Alex did. Okay. But yeah,
it would have been about a three, but since you guys were there, you bumped it up to the 10. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, we tore down. And like I said, that cured my hangover, really.
Turned well, down, so lights, like, you know, stuff. I went to bed at 4:30, and then I was up at 8 the next morning because I couldn't sleep in my fucking truck. And so, you know, we walk out to people kind of already starting to tear down, and a buddy Damien of ours went down to Carson to grab coffee. So we were caught him just in time to get a coffee. And then when he got back up, somebody said hair of the dog, and Austin was like, I got whiskey. So I poured some of my coffee. I put whiskey in my coffee, and dude, helped out so much. But then it was one of those things, like, if your body isn't tired when you start doing things and you just continue to do them, your body doesn't get tired. So I woke up at 8 after only like an hour of essentially real sleep and started doing things. So my body didn't have a chance to like be hungover. And then we didn't leave there until 1:30 or 2 in the afternoon. Went down, took showers, you know, got dressed, and then we went to go get something to eat. And when we got to eat is when my body damn near shut down, man. Like, I was hungover. I tried to have a beer as like hair of the dog, and beer tasted like shit. We ordered a large pizza for some reason. Luke killed like 8 fucking slices. I had like 3 and I couldn't eat anymore.
Yeah. Greasy pizza, man. That'll carry here. But anyways, yeah. So then that night, so we watched Big Lebowski. So shout out to Big Lebowski.
Fucking first time ever for you. Jesus. First time ever. Come on.
Phenomenal, dude. Phenomenal. Yep. So then of course the next morning when we go get breakfast, I see that that they had on the menu, like, I think it was like chai white Russians or something like that. Phenomenal. So me and Alex order one. And of course Alex is like, yeah, it's interesting. And I'm like, oh, you don't like it, huh? He's like, no, it's just interesting. And then like, you know, it took a little bit. And then he's like, all right, yeah, these are pretty damn good. I could drink them all goddamn day. And I know.
Oh, that's all I do. That's all I do, man. And that's all. That's why I started drinking them like 7-8 years ago. And I'm like, okay, let's do this. This is all I'm going to drink exclusively. I don't like the taste of beer. I usually don't like the taste of like manly alcohol, like whiskeys or scotches or tequilas. So I'm like, what can I? And after watching the Big Lebowski, I'm like, this is all I drink. Yeah. And it's great.
Now, like, mind you, we're having these white Russians. It's like 9 in the morning. And I got to drive 4 hours back to Elka. Luke's got to go to work later in the day. But we're just like, fuck it. Cheers. End of the weekend, baby. Fucking RIP.
RIP, you know?
Yeah. And that was the big thing. I don't know if anyone's big on Andy. You're big on TikTok, correct?
Yes, sir.
RIP.
So have you seen that? Hey. Yeah. You've seen that. I'm in the gym tonight. All right.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. It was one of those things. Like, Alex played a TikTok with that video on it. So I heard it and then it got stuck in my head. And then it just like, we just kept saying it. And that was like the mantra of the weekend. And we got like other people saying it, like, I'm getting ripped tonight. And to this day, you know, 5-6 days later, I'm still fucking saying it. Like, I just can't get it out of me.
It became, yeah. So idiot, like I said, the day after the wedding, we're cleaning up, we're hungover. Yeah. Throughout the day of us cleaning up, it wasn't as enthusiastic as Saturday, but it was just like, I'm getting ripped tonight. All right. Yeah.
As we're like rolling fucking tables onto the trailer, you know.
Dry heaving a little bit because I got so much beer and champagne in my system.
Yeah.
So it just, yeah, dude, it became, like Luke said, it became the mantra of the weekend, became the, like, that weekend is by far top tier weekend. Just because getting there Thursday, bullshitting with Luke Thursday night, and then Friday, you know, all day at the wedding thing. And I don't know, what did we do Friday night? Did we end up doing anything? Oh, you want to know what I did? I spent $120 on a fucking Arab mattress.
Yeah.
Because Luke's couch is like 2 feet long, so my body's hanging off of it.
Fucker. Your parents.
My couch. I'm sorry. My couch in his apartment is like 2 feet long. So on Friday night, I'm like, okay, tomorrow's going to be a long day. I want to get a good night's sleep. Let's go to Target. Let's go to Target. And I'm going to get me an Arab mattress just for the night or just for the weekend so I can have something to sleep on. And we get there and it's, we go to the Arab mattress section and there's one there that says, you know, queen size bed, built-in pump, $40. And I look up and there's one sitting directly on top of this tag. So I'm like, fuck yeah, $40. Like that shit looks comfortable. Let's get it. So we get that. We get a couple like cheap $4 blankets for Saturday night. And we get up to the register and they got self-checkout closed because they're counting the money. So people are pissed. We got Karens all over the place trying to yell at the fucking minimum wage workers trying to just count their money, right? So we get in line and there's only two registers open. So the line's out the door for Target at fucking 9:30. And we get up to the register and she rings up the blanket, you know, $4, $4. And then fucking rings up that thing and it's like $100+. And she goes, okay, your total is 120 something. And I was just like, and the girl's hot, obviously. So yeah. I can't look like a broke bitch. So I just say, no problem. Swipe my card. There goes $125. And I'm just like, son of a bitch.
In that split moment, Alex was going for his debit card. And he's like, 120? Okay. So he goes for his fucking.
He gets the credit card. Fuck. I don't know if I got 120 in the bank. Fuck. I don't look like a bitch.
Smooth. Fucking smooth.
Let's just say I had to transfer money into my account so I wouldn't get charged an overdraft fee.
I had to sell up some Doge coins. So
yeah, that should be our next segue. So Karens in general, right? Like, I don't know about you, but I've never found myself where I'm like even in that moment where it was like 9:30. I mean, we weren't really that tired. But if it was like I just gotten off work and I'm like, fuck, I need to grab this. I need to grab laundry detergent or something. So let me run to Target. It's the closest. And there's a huge line and all I got is one item. Like, I'm not going to make a fucking scene because I put myself in that situation of not buying it, you know, days earlier, you know, like not going at such an inconvenient time at 9:30 at night on a Friday night where there's only like a skeleton queen working. But like, I don't know. I never have that. Like, I don't have that urge to like, hey, like, can we open up another fucking register, you know, or like,
oh, it's insane.
Checkout. Which that's exactly what happened. People were like yelling at the employees.
I don't want to call out a generation, but I'm definitely calling out like our parents' generation is what it's a lot of 40+ year olds, right? That you don't really see a bunch of like 26-year-olds, 30-year-olds like causing scene. I mean, there are, I'm sure there are, but
bitch about it on Twitter, but yeah.
Right. I mean, it's a lot of our parents. Like I'm assuming like our parents are the people that do that, the boomers of the world. Mostly all the Karens, and it's crazy how some people act. Like, read the fucking room, people. Like, how hard is it? Like, I'll sit in a goddamn drive-thru for an hour and a half before I say anything. Like, I'm usually typically the most patient person, and like, I'm such a coward with like, I guess, with no spine. I bought a $900 couch because I was afraid to say no to the guy. That was the most uncomfortable fucking thing I've ever sat on in my life. And it smelled like dog piss, but I paid $900 for it and loaded 7 pieces onto a trailer.
Yeah.
Because I was afraid to say no.
And that's why Andy has 2 vehicles now instead of 1.
I make poor decisions, people.
Yeah. So I've definitely been, I mean, I wouldn't label it as a Karen.
Oh yeah. Alex, one of my worst, actually.
One of my biggest issues, right? Because I've worked in retail, I've worked restaurants, I've worked customer service, stuff like that. So it's like when I get certain, like, so if I go to a fast food restaurant, right, and I walk up to the counter and I put my order in, and the person behind the counter is very dry, and it's just like, how can I help you? It's like, okay, I get it. I get you're not making a lot of money, but this is your job, you know, like put some personality behind it is my issue. And then I've also had instances where, and I've called people out on it, where I walk into a fast food restaurant and I'm like, excuse me, you know, trying to be very nice to them, you know, excuse me. And then they kind of ignore me. And then I kind of get, you know, a little out. I'm like, hey, excuse me. Like, can I got a question. And people have been like, yes. And dude, I've lost it on people. Just like people like that. It's, I've had people go like sigh and go like, yes.
Yeah.
And I've just been okay. I've told people like, am I bothering you? Like, I'm sorry you're here, but I have a question. Am I bothering you? Tell me. If I'm bothering you, I'll get another person. Yeah. And then I've gone out of my way to not give tips to people. Like at restaurants, I'll give tips to other waitresses because my waitress was shit or she had a shitty attitude. Or if I like, hey, can I get a refill? And she's like, oh, yeah, okay. It's just like, okay, bitch, guess what? You get a 25-cent tip. And this girl who just was walking by and I asked her for ranch and she said, oh yeah, no problem. Yeah, got me my ranch. I'm giving that girl $20 when I walk out because fuck you.
I mean, there's a difference obviously between like bad customer service associates and then like people who are doing what they can do, like the Target skeleton crew counting their money.
Exactly.
Like, it's not that they're providing bad customer service. It's just they're shorthanded. And like nowadays, like we've been in Twin Falls this weekend and like almost every place we've gone to eat or whatever, there's like signs posted that says like, we are severely understaffed. Like if you can send anybody to our career page, like, so sorry for the wait, our wait times are higher than normal because our wait staff is, and like, you have to understand like that's a different situation than just somebody being a fucking bitch.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
And
yeah,
you're just right. Providing horrible customer service. And like, yeah, horrible customer service. Like we've all worked retail. We've all worked bullshit jobs that we don't want to do, but like there's a difference between like providing excellent customer service and not getting it and like reacting to that bad customer service. Like I've reacted to bad customer service before. And Becky always asks me, like, every time we go somewhere, like, whether it be a drive-through or a waitress at a restaurant, she's like, how do you think their customer service is? Rate their customer service. Mm-hmm. And more often than not, it's fine. But when you get those bad ones, fuck, it's rough.
Yeah. So that's, like, that's where my Karen comes out is when I got especially young kids that are, like, 15, 16 years old. Working these fast food jobs and they just feel like they're too good for the job or they're pissed that they're there. It's like, I get you got shit outside of work that you brought in, you know, it's almost impossible not to keep shit outside of work, but it's like, you almost got to have a switch because I'm sure Andy, you know, answering phones, like, you know, you and I do, there's shit that's bothering you at that moment, you can't answer the phone. Like, I'll go to a fastener. It's like, right.
Andy's really
Elko Tool and Fastener. This is Andy. Or it's like, no. Kenworth Sales. This is Alex. How can I help you? It's like, because the customer doesn't give a fuck. They don't know what's going on the other side of that phone.
No.
The customer doesn't know what's going on the other side of that intercom. So it's just like, that's what irritates the piss out of me.
No. There's definitely been times with Andy that like I've seen personally working when I was at ETF of like us getting all chewed out or Andy getting fucking his ass chewed out. And then the phone rings like right as the boss is done and he's like after getting reamed for like 10 minutes, you know, like pretty much like almost borderline quitting your job, the phone it's like, hey, this is Alco Puma Fast and this is Andy, you know, like just like
or we're playing like basketball and I turn a corner and Joe throws a shot and misses the basketball, hits me right in the goddamn face as I'm answering the phone and you still gotta provide that great customer service. I pride myself in my ability to switch it on and be excellent. So
it is a switch, that's for sure.
Yeah, because I'm usually depressed, pissed off, or upset 98% of the time, but you'll never be able to tell by my phone etiquette.
Oh, that was
what?
Sorry to cut you off. So truth or dab, I was thinking about Chi and like you, like, you know, Chi pissing you off any other day. And then that phone's always ringing, you know, but that last weekend that we were in Memorial Day weekend. So after truth and dab, we all go out to the bar. And once again, Alex stays out fucking all day.
I get a snap at 7 a.m. They're at a restaurant eating breakfast. I'm like, oh my God.
I suppose we should probably talk about that. Yeah. I didn't get home till 8:45.
Yeah.
And I left my house at 4 p.m. The day prior to go to Andy's house for fucking truth or dab. So what is that? 24, 28 hours I was just out drinking. And let's just say a lot of beers were had, karaoke was sung, friends were made, and I was sitting on the sidewalk as the sun was coming up. So,
and you had somebody else's fucking driver's license in your wallet.
Oh, yeah. I have a dude's from Texas's driver's license. Don't know who it is. Don't know how I got it. But I just have his license.
There was that group of guys that were like, oh, you're from Texas? Oh, shit. And you guys like started talking about Texas and that you would live there for a little bit. Do you remember that group?
Or no? I have that guy on Snapchat because like he appeared on my Snapchat. I was like, who the fuck's this guy?
Yeah.
And then it took me a while to be like, oh, this is homeboy from Charlie's. But I don't remember that little Mexican guy being with him.
Yeah. So have you reached out to this Mexican guy at all? Like searched Facebook? I know you're not much on Facebook, but have you searched Facebook trying to get this man his license?
No, I've decided it's mine now.
I was going to say, because if he's in Elko, it's going to be a hard press these days with COVID and shit to get anywhere without a goddamn license.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've looked him up on Facebook, could not find him. Thought about making a post on Man Cave or something like that. But then I thought about it and I was like, well, if he's from Texas, he's not going to be on any of these local pages.
Yeah. Right.
You know? So it's like, how do I get a hold of him? Do I call Texas and then they probably have the DMV probably has his number on file?
They probably won't give it to you though. You should probably just mail it. You should probably just mail the license back to the address it has on the license.
See, thought about doing that. And then I was like, that's a lot of work because then I got to go down to the post office.
Right. Right.
And I'm just
you gotta realize the amount of work this guy's got to do because your drunk ass has his license. He's like, fuck, now I got to get back to Texas. I got to go to the fucking DMV. Yeah.
Like, what's the scenario? Like, you clearly don't remember, Alex, but like, what would be a scenario where you're at a bar and you give a stranger your fucking license? Like, I can't even think of.
The only thing I can vaguely remember is someone coming up and saying, hey, you were talking to all those guys from Texas, weren't you? And I think maybe he dropped it or it was at the bar or people like saw us talking and they were like, hey, you're buddies with them. And I was drunk. So I was like, fuck yeah, those are the guys. Like, hell yeah.
You're a Mexican. And then they were like, well,
here's his license. I was like, I lived in Texas for 7 months. Fucking yeehaw. And then, I got his license. So it's sitting here on my nightstand still. Good old Corey.
It'll be there forever.
Oh, dude. I now have a license and a class ring from a dude I do not know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I procure things on nights out.
So Alex is walking back and forth from like bar to bar just all fucking night. Maybe take a little pit stop in a parking lot.
I took a pit stop in a porta potty in a parking lot in a construction zone and blew that spot up at like 6:45 in the morning, dude. Sun was coming up. I was like, I gotta going to work. Shit.
People are going to work and you've been drinking all fucking night.
Just like for even like Truth and Dab, he was that's like a 6 p.m.
Yeah. I had like 10 beers at your house. So then I had 10 beers, went downtown. And drank from 10 till fucking sun up. And it wasn't like, oh, I'm going to have a couple beers here and then I'll stop for a couple hours. No, it was, let me have a beer. I need a beer. Can I have a beer? Let me have a beer. Beer, beer, beer. And I just fucking went for it. And then, next thing I know, me and good old Eric, who doesn't listen to this podcast, are sitting. Oh, no, he does. He does listen to this podcast.
He does. Unless I tell him his name is mentioned.
Yeah. No, we're sitting in front of, because we had met up. I was at the other bar talking to the bartender, cool girl. And then he called me. He's like, hey, I'm over at Goldie's. Come over here. Like, fuck. Okay. So then I go over to Goldie's. Like the seventh time I had walked from Charlie's to Goldie's. The seventh time. And we're in there and we get a beer and I have a few sips of it. It's at this point now I'm like not sobering up, but it's dawned on me what time it is and what I'm doing. So I'm like, okay, this tastes gross. So I like chug most of it and I'm like, I'm gonna go for a walk, man. So then I leave and I walk down like opposite of Goldie's and I get down to the barber's den, which is like, I don't know, 100 yards away, and I was just like, I give up, and I sit down on the ground and Eric calls me again. He goes, hey, where are you at? And I go, I'm sitting on the sidewalk, man. I'm not coming back into Goldie's. He's like, okay, I'll come find you. So then he walks out with his beer And then me and him are just sitting there watching the sunrise as he's drinking his beer and have a good talk. And I'm just like, this is where a cop pulls up and we both get arrested for drunk and disorderly as the night's ending, all because I wanted to go to Coffee Mug and Eric wanted to wait until fucking Dree's open because he's in love with Dree's. And we go in there and I almost pass out at the table, almost fall asleep. So I get coffee, don't even drink it throughout the entirety of the meal. And then at the end of it, chug as much as I can and then call my sister. And I'm like, hey, I need a ride. So then Alex, her and my little nephew come and pick me up.
Alex has the audacity to call me. Okay, so I leave at like 2 in the morning, 2:30.
With my truck.
With his truck, because we took his vehicle into town from your house, right? And he's like, hey, man, I don't think, like, I was over it probably 30 minutes before I left. I'm like, I'm just not feeling it. And he's like, I think I really want to stay, man. I really want to stay. He's like, you know what? Just take my truck home. I'm like, okay, perfect. He gives me
a hundo.
Throws me a Benjamin. And he's like, hey, if you need gas. I'm like, oh, I didn't even realize how much it was. So I just put it in the center console. And I drive home and I go to bed. And mind you, it's probably like 3 in the morning when I finally get to bed. He calls me at 7 whenever it was, 7 or 8 in the morning, and is like, hey, can you come pick me up? I'm like, fuck no, I'm not. Sorry.
Some friend, I give him my truck. I give him a fucking Benjamin, a crisp $100 bill to get home safe. And I call him saying, hey, bring my truck and come pick my drunk ass up. And he has the audacity to say no.
And roll over and go back to bed. Yeah.
Yeah. Piece of shit.
Yeah. So your poor sister has to drag her infant son out of bed to get your drunk ass in town.
Yeah, so I call my sister because I was like, okay, it's almost like it's 8. It's almost 8. My nephew usually wakes up at like 6:45, 7 o'clock. So yep. She's probably awake.
Andy.
What?
You have that to look forward to. Early fucking mornings, man.
Oh, yes.
So call her and she goes, yeah. And I go, hey. What are you doing? She goes, nothing, like, little man just woke up. So I'm like trying to wake up myself and I go, hey, perfect timing, I need a ride. She goes, where are you at? And I go, I'm at Dree's. Why are you at Dree's? Long story, I'll explain to you when you get here. So she shows up, I hop in, and I think we're gonna go straight home, but she's like, well, I'm in town, I'm gonna get me coffee, like, I want breakfast. So then we drive around town going,
yeah.
So we're just driving around town and I'm just passing out in the front seat and I hear my nephew in the back just like talking to himself. So I'm talking about, talking my drunk talk and get home. Yeah. At 8:45, something like that. And then for whatever reason, empty the contents of my pockets onto my parents' dining room table. So I got like my phone, my wallet. I got a shit ton of change. Somehow, because for whatever reason, I accumulate fucking nickels and dimes and quarters. So I just throw all this change, a lighter, my wallet, fucking everything, just yard sale on my parents' table, and then go to pass out on their couch. My dad yells at me. He's like, get the fuck off the couch and go to your room because I know we're going to wake you up. I got super mad about that for some reason, even though he was right. So I just like angrily stomped down the hallway back to my fucking pink room. Where I pass out for like 4 hours.
You're fucking like 13 again, Alex.
Oh, dude.
Get off my fucking couch and go to bed.
Like, shut up, God. So, that was a good day.
Yeah. Overall, it's been a couple good weekends, I must say. And I feel bad that I was thinking back to that when we did the Truth or Dab, because like it was just a fucking phenomenal, like, not just us three, but we had Joe reappeared. You know, he's been on the podcast before. Chi was on.
Becky made an appearance.
Becky made an appearance, which I thought was going to be really cool, like, for that to come out, because we've always talked about her. And for her to finally, like, and say some fucking crazy shit or, like,
drop some bombs.
Yeah. And so I'm thinking, whenever we start this Patreon, probably a year from now, we can upload that and just like, hey, here it is. You know, you probably can't hear shit from it, but.
Or redo it.
I mean, we could always redo it, but we'd have to do a different game though, I think. Different questions.
I've actually looked at buying that last dab because I fucking loved it.
Oh, the sauce?
The sauce, dude. I love that sauce.
Yeah.
I haven't stopped thinking about it.
The Heatness does a bunch of does like a subscription box. They send you three sauces a month. I think you should do that. That's really cool. They got a bunch of different stuff.
Yeah.
I'll have to do that then.
But yes, Alex ran the mile and was a minute and a half over than what he thought, because he's out of shape, ladies and gentlemen. He's out of shape.
And I told him before we started this podcast that I'll buy him new AirPods if he can do it under 7. So
yeah.
So get ready for that mile. Get ready for that video, ladies and gentlemen. Coming.
But I told him next. He has 30 days because that ain't fucking. I ain't holding this out for 6 months.
Say, get ready for that video the next year and a half.
Yeah.
I just bought 2 cars. I can't afford no fucking AirPods.
But all right.
Oh, all right, guys. I don't know how long we've been going.
Me neither.
But me either.
I'm going quite a while, so I'm going to hop off because I got a long fucking day tomorrow.
Okay. Take her sleazy, gentlemen. Take her sleazy.